Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, where we inspire to go higher and higher in the spirit. And today we'll have sort of a controversial subject, and sometimes we will do that. Today I'm talking about, can you be sexual, sensual, and saved? We'll go to B.B. Winans, and then we'll come back and talk about that. Can you be? What's your thoughts on that? Let's talk about it when I come back.
Well, the beauty of love in my life with one love come to me. Let a
That was B.B. Winans, and It's a Love Thing. I have somebody on hold here, but I'm going to kind of intro the show, and if you're on hold, then just stay on hold. The intro of this show is, can you be single, sexy, and saved? And for my opinion, you know, some of this, I'm going to use some articles and other opinions. I am not trying to sway one person one way or the other. I just want us to open up some dialogue and think about this. I'm single. I think you can be all of those things. I think you can be sensual, sexual, with a committed relationship with someone. And I know that'll be controversial for some people, but I am a progressive Christian, and it is what it is. And it's been times in my life where I have gone long periods and been celibate, and this has been an area of my life that I have struggled with, and I don't feel like I'm the only Christian person that has struggled with this area. And then there's been times when I gave in, and it's like it's been this fight on and off with me where I've gone in and gave in and went long periods of time, and to finally I'm just at a place where, you know, God is a God of grace and love and mercy. And, you know, even the word fornication, you know, we've kind of changed some of the things. The word fornication really comes from the Greek word porneia, which is it meant harlotry and adultery and incest in biblical times. So have we changed it? I do feel like that there can be some sexual, and I'm not, you know, swaying somebody else to do, you do what God tells you to do, is, and you, you know, follow the path that God has led you on. Your path may be different from mine. That's just how I feel. That's who I am, and that's, you know, kind of what I stand on. Do I feel like I should be out here with everybody? No. I feel like that is a private, intimate relationship between two people and God. And who am I to judge or to say one way or the other? I have a caller on the line. I'm not sure if they want to speak, but I'll just check and see. Hello, caller.
Oh, yes. How you doing, ma'am?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was on just on Blog Talk Radio waiting on another show to come on, and I guess I saw yours. I was scrolling down and saw yours, and it kind of, I guess it kind of caught my eye, the topic, you know?
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? Can you be single, sensual, and sexual? Just, I'm like I said in the intro, I am not condoning one way or the other. Just opening it up for dialogue.
Well, what I would say as a former quote unquote Christian, I will. It's a brother that I know. He uses the term. He's a Nazarene Israelite. And anyway, he's a black man. Anyway, he's an I too. But he's a firm advocate for polygyny or polygamy. And I think a lot of what's going on with modern-day Christianity is that we've been so, and when I say we, I speak of as one being a former Christian, but yet still believing in the same creator that you believe in. So I don't want you to think that I'm an atheist or nothing like that. But anyway, We were, you know, taught that, you know, this, that, and the other about one man, one wife. And like you said, fornication, what we thought it meant and what the actual meaning of it is. And I'm glad that you were pretty astute on that. But I think that what needs to happen is that the Christian, quote-unquote Christian church needs to promote polygamy, because for the simple fact, there really is no scripture in the Bible that speaks negatively. In fact, there isn't a scripture in the Bible that speaks negatively against it. It's just one's personal preference, you know. And I think a lot of that would first and foremost fight off a lot of sexual desires, you know. And again, you know, these are issues that need to be dealt with, and this is a good topic because it's very touchy. And I think a lot of the problem in the church, I'm going to just relate to the black church, because I haven't been to every church, but, you know, I'm going to just say the black church. A lot of what's wrong with the black church is that, you know, the black church just doesn't deal with things of this nature, you know what I'm saying? And you have all these, you know, these conferences and stuff like that going on, but yet, you know, you still have people sinning, you still have people having, you know, out of wedlock babies, bastard children. You still have people, you still have pastors coming out as being homosexual. You still, and something's not right, you know. Something's not right, you know. And I think something that somebody heard you say earlier was about judging. I think that's something else that we misconstrue, because we're supposed to judge, but we're supposed to judge from a righteous standpoint. You know what I'm saying? And so, I think, you know, like I said, there's a lot of things that we as quote-unquote Christians, black Christians especially, that we would just really, we basically don't have the right understanding, you know what I'm saying?
Right, and I hear you on it. What's your name, brother? Just your first name, if you want to give that up, or another name so I can call you by
my name
something.
Is Courtney. Courtney. I don't have nothing to
okay.
hide. I don't. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you, Courtney, for your thoughts. And, you know, I believe that we should have dialogue. Personally, I wouldn't be involved in a polygamous relationship, but I'm open to talking about it. And I think that's some of the thing with the church, and I'm still Christian, will be, is that we don't always dialogue about things. I don't have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with me. But we have to be open to dialogue about things and to bring things out. So I do appreciate your thought on that. You know, that is maybe, you know, for some people that may be an option. As for me, I mean, that wouldn't be a real option. But it would be something to dialogue about. So I am so, I'm glad you called in.
Well, you got to understand, some women make good wives, and I'm quoting his brother. This isn't my own quote, but some women make
okay.
good wives, and some women make good concubines. With concubine meaning a woman strictly for sexual pleasure, and that woman is not, she's not married. So she's a single woman, and she's strictly for that man's sexual pleasure, as you know, we all know about King Solomon and King David, and they weren't the only ones that had concubines and multiple wives. But there are some women that are just not going to make good wives, and it's just the way it is. And there are some women that'll make excellent concubines, you know.
Well, and that's opinion. I have a brother. I do appreciate you, but I just feel like that's kind of downgrading toward women, and I got to speak at that because, you know, I feel like that puts one woman on one part and another woman on another part. I do respect your opinion, but I just kind of feel like that's downgrading to woman to me, you know, and if somebody else has something else they want to say about that, they can surely call in. But, you know, it's really what I'm getting here is that I'm glad you called in because we really should be open to dialogue. I'm just giving you my opinion. I just feel like that one woman would be and some women I think you shouldn't marry. Some people are meant to be single, and I do agree with that some people are meant to be single. They don't really maybe even desire to be married, or that's not a need for them. But then what do you do with these other parts of you if you choose to be single? So I guess I can see some of your point. For me, to have a woman be, one woman be okay to marry and another woman just to be for your sexual gratification or whatever, where does that put the woman in all of that? Because that just sounds really male intense to me.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, society, you know, dating back from a biblical standpoint, has always been patriarchal, you know. And don't get me wrong, the woman definitely has her place, you know. But what I'm saying is I find it troubling when I see, and again, I'm only using my own personal experiences in my own community, is that when I see a sister, a black woman who has three or four kids, you know, by three or four different, you know, three or four different men, and for her, I would believe that, you know, for her, I mean, she would rather be a woman steady getting impregnated, you know, as opposed to being, you know, a man's third or fourth wife. I mean, I just seen a brother today on YouTube, and the brother had a wife that she had a child already, but he basically gave this lady and her son a structured format, you know, and it was very beautiful, as a matter of fact. But I think, you know, like you said, I mean, we all have different opinions on it, and that's, I don't mind people having different opinions, you know. But like I said, I just find it most troubling when I see that, because it's a fact that women do outnumber men, you know. And so men definitely have the pick of the litter, you know. And I think, you know, if we were to really research a lot of things, we would understand these desires that we have and why we have these desires, you know. And, I mean, and as far as a person being single, you know, I think it takes ultimate discipline to not, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't agree with self-pleasure, you know, and I understand that there are times where you get to that point, but I think that that's the reason why, you know, one should consider marriage. If you have a urges and desires that strong, then you may want to consider being married, or you may want to consider strictly being a man's concubine, you know. And you know, and that's just my opinion, you know. And like I said,
well,
these are the things that a lot of...
appreciate your opinion, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, and I do appreciate Courtney's opinion and his sharing today. You know, and I have to even, you know, open myself up to that, you know, there will be a lot of people calling in with a lot of different opinions. You know, for women, men, whoever, if you're single out here and you're saved, there are, he did have some good points, that there are more men to women. This is a national statistic. As a matter of fact, I looked up, I think this comes from the 2010 statistic. And especially for black men, it's 87 black men to every 100 black women. And this is due to a lot of reasons. More men are being incarcerated. You know, more men are gay, or those things all counter in that. And in the world, there are 57 million more men than women in the world. And also there's a gender spiral, with more boys and men in the younger age groups and more women in the older age groups. And these are all things to factor in that, you know, women are marrying at a later age. In biblical times, it was not uncommon for women to marry, you know, or anywhere from about 14 to 19. And now in this day and era, you know, it is not uncommon, and most of the average age for women in one study that I read now to get married is in the late 20s to early 30s. And as we are taking longer times to marry and to make that kind of a commitment, then we have to consider the things, some things. You know, and I guess the topic of the show, like I said, can you be sexual, sensual, saved? We are sexual beings, and I'm not saying that I'm not, like I said, advocating one where some people are celibate for long periods of time, or where you feel like this is God has called you and that you're not going to have sex before marriage. Actually, I think that's a great and a beautiful thing. But the reality is, as the longer we are out here single, that there are, you know, things that we have to deal with, you know, in dating, and some things that we have to think about. And we have to deal with our sexuality, and how do you do that and stay saved and, you know, stay pure. The brother Courtney has some points. I personally don't believe in polygamy. I think that's great for a man, and it's kind of a one-sided view for men. And I know that they have polygamous relationships in biblical times. And actually, you know, some women now, whether you want to even marry women, whether you want to agree with it or not, I sometimes believe that sometimes you may be in a polygamous relationship, whether you're consenting or not, if your man is seeing more than one woman. And with the average of men to women, there are men out here seeing more than one woman, and that's the reality of the fact. But I just feel like it's up to the women to set the tone of what you want in relationship, to keep that equal. So, you know, as we're out here in this world and we're dating and everything, there's some things that I think that you should think about, women and men, when you're single. You know, one is that you got to know what you want. You know, before you're going out there hitting the singles market, especially women of faith, you need to prepare for the relationships that they desire. And I'm coming out of a article that I read on sex, love, and dating, and it's in an Essence magazine article. You know, we need to develop a strong connection with our spirit. You know, we can do that through journaling and meditating and getting clear on what you want. And I feel like you should go to God and ask for what you want. Be very specific about what you want. You know, just like when you go to the grocery store, you need to eat before you go to the grocery store, because a lot of times if you don't eat before you go to the grocery store, you'll buy everything in the store. Well, I think it's the same kind of way with dating. You shouldn't go out here dating hungry and desperate, you know. So I think that that's something, especially when you're safe to pray about, you know, because all of us really, at some point, I really do want to get married and I want to be married again. When will that be? Will it be in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Who knows? But in that time, there are things that I know as a woman that I need to do. One, and I need to, you know, keep my, you know, it's obvious, keep myself together, keep myself looking good, smelling good, being good. I do believe in all of those things. Keep myself healthy. But I also need to keep my mind and be very clear about what it is I want, what I want in a man, how we can meet each other in a like-minded situation. I do feel like that if you're in a relationship or if you're seeking a mate, that you should be equally yoked. That, to me, is very important. And even with being equally yoked, you know, it's not about how often does this man go to church, but are your views and beliefs similar? And I'm an open-minded person, and are you guys, even if your views, are your views and your beliefs similar, and can you openly dialogue about your views and beliefs, and are you open, accepting, and unconditional about those beliefs? So that's one thing to consider. Know what you want. Then the other is expand your options. You know, sometimes, and I'm a black woman, so I speak from the reference point of who I am. At some point, I may have to think about, or we may have to think about other white, black, Hispanic. We may have to come out of our realm. And when you find love, does it matter really if they are the same ethnic group to you? I mean, for some people, that may be very important. And if that's very important to you, then, you know, certainly that's what you should do. But I do feel like we need to get to a realm, especially black women, if the ratio of black men to black women is so high, then maybe we need to think about others and be open to that. And even in the church, many black women outnumber black men in any congregation. And there's the online dating thing. You know, I feel like it's nothing wrong with that. And one of the fastest growing online dating is the ChristianMingle.com. It's become one of the fastest growing dating sites that there is. And people are finding people that are like-minded. I think we have to be open. You have to be open to going out, to being out there, to, you know, you're just not going to meet people at church. A lot of times, you know, one of the churches I went with, everybody was already married. What's the likelihood of me meeting somebody there? So I think you just have to be open to other options. And then to try to make a spiritual connection. For some Christian daters, the concern isn't meeting men, but whether the guy they connect with have a relationship with God. And to me, that's very important as I prepare to date. You know, ask him about his spiritual life as you're meeting people. What do they think about this or that? Ask them about religious questions to get a feel for who they are. And just because somebody says that, you know, maybe you go to church every Sunday, but maybe he doesn't go. He might go once every other week or whatever, and you have to consider sometimes people's work schedule or whatever. But just because you're not in the church pew every Sunday does not mean that you're not spiritual and have a relationship with God. So you just really have to check out the brothers or the man's thought processes. And then as we were talking, embrace your own sexuality. You know, and to talk about sexuality in the black church is like really passe. It is, people just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to open up about it. And it really is an Achilles heel for many single Christians, you know, out here. Most pastors will say wait until marriage, abstain, you know, be in a monogamous relationship. And I don't think it's anything wrong with any of those things, but I do want to open our mind to that, you know, the age and the marrying age for people is taking a longer time to abstain you know, sometimes 30, 40 years is difficult. And as I say, I'm not promoting one thing or the other, but I'm just trying to expand our minds. We are sexual, sensual beings. And so, you know, I don't feel like we should go from person to person to person. I do feel like that is committing a sexual. It's becoming like harlotry. But when you're in a committed relationship, you know, so I guess my mind is expanding on things. And even there's some pastors, actually there's a pastor in this article says that fornication in Scripture did not mean sex before marriage. Fornication in that time meant sexual engagement with prostitutes. This is Reverend Dr. Michael Walron that is saying that. And, you know, so we have to look at the word fornication and look at its meaning and where it is. And really in the early church, changed the word fornication biblically with the Sidetes, and they were an anti-sexual group in biblical times. And that was when the word fornication changed from the meaning of the word originally, what meant adultery, idolatry, and those kind of things, having sex with a prostitute. And then that biblical meaning of what we know it today changed with the Sidetes. Back, and like I said, this was an anti-sexual agnostic group. So just, you know, even looking at that word and some of the words that we use, we have to look at those things. And I do believe we have to embrace our sexuality, even in the way that we dress and that kind of thing. You know, I don't believe that we have to dress totally covered from head to toe, not showing anything, not doing anything. I think that we can, as women of faith, can dress modestly. I do promote modest dressing. But, you know, that covers, that, you know, shows that we're women. Dressing clothes that shows that we're women, that, you know, covers and hugs our curves, not to the point that it's so tight that it's, you know, restricting, but that accentuates that I am a woman. I am a woman. And so I feel like that I should be able to dress right. I should embrace who I am. And who I am is a sensual, sexual, spiritual being, and embrace all those parts of who I am. And I affirm my faith. I think that we all need, as a dating, single Christian, I affirm my faith. I love the Lord. I really do. I have a relation with Him, a deep relationship with Him. And a part of me is like my sexuality is a part of who I am, and I honor that part of me. My spirituality, my connection to Christ is a part of me, and I honor that in who I am. And I honor that in myself, but I also honor you and your choices of who you are as a sensual, sexual, spiritual being. We have all of these parts to us. And I affirm that I am this person, and I am all of this, and all of these parts are part of me. Some of the other things that was in this article, you know, one of the pastors and associate pastor, Susan Newman, said that he who finds a wife, and that's in the Bible, findeth a good thing. In biblical times, women were seen as property and did not own their bodies. They went from being the property of their father to being the property of their husband. And sort of like when Courtney was talking, I kind of felt like he was, that's how I feel like he saw women as property. But we're human beings with the right to choose who we want to be with, you know, to choose who we love and to choose to honor ourselves in God, and to be proud of that. So I just feel like these are things that we need to open up and charge. And then another point made in this article is that in ancient theology, view sex as sin. Sex is not sin, but to manipulate sex as a tool of empowerment is sinful. And I so agree with that, and I'm going to read that again. Sex is not sin, but to manipulate sex as a tool of empowerment is sinful. Sexuality is a gift from God when embraced properly. And that was by a Pastor Waldron. And I believe that, you know, we are, you know, to embrace who we are, all parts of ourselves, is who God wanted us and created us to be. And this dialogue is going on in a lot of places. I was looking at a blog, and I'm just kind of going through some of those things that I was going through, and there was a sister on this blog, and she was talking about how her struggle is with being single, saved, and sexual, being a sexual being, and how she struggled with this. So I'm just going to read the first part of her blog and then kind of go over some things. Like most conservative Christian folks, I grew up believing that sex was reserved for marriage. For years, my sexual experiences were laden with guilt. I routinely went years at a time with no sexual contact until I was finally in a fit of weakness, given to my urges. I was caught in a continual cycle of self-denial, self-indulgence, guilt, confession, rinse, and repeat, topped off by 5 years of celibacy. I was treating sex as if it were a bad habit that I desperately needed to break. And I, you know, while it's some parts of her article that I really kind of, you know, kind of don't agree with it, but there are some parts of her article that I do agree with. And I think that in the cycle of the church, when you are single, you go through that period where, you know, you're trying to follow the word and you go through years, but it's this inward battle within yourself that we don't really talk about. And people in the church say, well, just don't do it. Like they used to say no to drugs, say no to sex, and just don't do it. But it's sometimes we have to be open and say that it's just not always that simple as we are being out here single for longer periods of time. And I just feel like it's one of those things that we need to openly dialogue and talk about and be honest about. You know, and I do consider where it says in First Corinthians, that our body is a temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. And so that we have to treat that body as such, as this temple in which the Spirit of God dwells. So in treating my body as this temple, you know, I don't feel like I should be out here rampant with anybody, but that this is this holy space and place with me and God, and how and what I do with my sacred spot and my sacred place is between me and God. So, you know, I am not disagreeing with anybody who does, you know, who believes that fornication is a sin, you know, and that you don't do that until you're married. I believe that's beautiful, and I honor that. But I also believe that we need to be open to dialogue, that this is a difficult time for a lot of people who are single, sensual, and sexual beings. Pretty much, as I go through this, I just wanted to open up this dialogue and this conversation, and it was pretty much just me today. So what are your thoughts? You know, you can write me, message me on Facebook, let me know how you feel about this. You know, read over some things, really study the word fornication, as I said. You know, we as Christians sometimes have changed the meaning of that word. And as men and women of God, how you treat this temple, I do believe is important. It's a sacred place and that you should treat it as such. But I also believe that we should be our authentic selves, our true selves, honoring each part of our being, the sensual, sexual being that we are, that we should honor those parts of ourselves also. Well, I am pretty much going to end the program here. I'm going to go back out with B.B. Whining's song because I think it's a great thing, great song, and it's called That Love Thing. Really loving this song. So you guys, just think about what I said. Think about some things I brought up. I appreciate Courtney calling in, giving me his dialogue. And he said that he was a former Christian. You know, I think that we as Christians, that we need to stand for who we are and stand for what we believe in. There are people leaving the faith, I guess, not only just for, you know, whatever their beliefs is, but we need to really look at what we say, what we believe, how we live, and honor who we are. And it's so much going on in the church. You know, like he said, there are pastors who are doing this and doing that, and there's people in the pews doing the same thing. There's pastors who just, you know, condemn homosexuality, and then in the same token, they're homosexuals. There are people in the pews doing the same thing. Why are we living these double lives? Why can't we be authentic to who we are as people and be true to ourselves so that we're not lying about who we are? And why can't we honor each part of our being? I'm just leaving it there. This is Linda. This is Soul in the City. Some things that they make you go, used to be a show that said, these are things that make you go, Well, research them for yourself. Answer these questions for yourself. Today I wasn't trying to convert you one way or the other, but just to make you think and to dialogue. And to me, what can we do about all of this? You know, some of the things I think the church can do is, one, is to have more single support groups where people can be open, honest, and really dialogue, and to create a climate in that discussion or support group where people aren't condemned or judged, but they're loved unconditionally, guided in a mature way. I think that we really need to have that, and in the environment should be non-judgmental and unconditional love. So that is just some of the things without condemning, but what can we do about it? And there are a lot of single support groups in a lot of churches, but it's still not open to dialogue about our sexuality and how we treat that and what we can do about that. So I feel like that's something we really need to dialogue and help pray for each other and guide each other along. Well, that is the end of the program. This is Soul in the City. And we inspire you to go higher and higher. We're going to go out with B.B. Winans and That Love Thing.
I'm still